Lord, I was looking forward to being back in services this evening and hearing the testimonies from the missionaries again. Thank you again, Brother Abels, Miss Robin, for the hospitality and the fellowship. You guys, it's just been a blessing. We love coming to this church, as I mentioned. I did learn something, though, that we were eating at a Mexican restaurant recently. And, of course, in Glendale, Arizona, we have no Mexican restaurants. I don't know if we have a lot of Mexican restaurants. But I found out, though, that you have to be very careful when you're eating avocados. I don't know if you know, how many avocado fans out there, you like avocado? Be super careful, let me just warn you. I found out that when you're eating avocados, if you get any in your eye, you could get glaucoma. I'm still thinking about dropping Brother Mark. So that's kind of where I am. Yeah, if I drop him, you can take him on. So that'll work. Oh, no, I do appreciate your... I'll come up with a better one tomorrow. But I don't tell jokes at home because I want them to come back. And, so I don't hardly tell jokes. I tell jokes on my way. And so I'll just leave it at that one. But anyway, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, if you're able to stand with me. Oh, yes, that's right. I have my mom with us here. She's over here to my left. Why don't you raise your hand, Mom? My mom, Donna, she's from Temple Baptist Church in El Dorado, Kansas. And Carolyn Ratcliffe, our good friend, is here with her as well. And Miss Carolyn has been doing the books at Temple Baptist for about 105 years or so, something like that. But she's not that old. I'm just saying she's been doing it a long time. But her and my mom are partners in crime traveling around and such. And so good to have my mom and Miss Carolyn with us tonight, too. I'll see who I can bring tomorrow as well. So anyway, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I probably ought to get there myself. Matthew chapter 22 and... Actually, put my glasses on. That might even help even better. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. He says in verse 39, And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I just think this is a great passage of scripture. This lawyer asked Jesus, you can see up in verse 35, you know, and he was tempting him, which is the greatest commandment? Which one could you pull out would be the greatest? And the Lord gives us the text that we just read. And I want to look at this passage of scripture, and we're certainly going to talk about finances and things of that nature, especially tomorrow and certainly on Sunday. Sunday, I'm going to tell you exactly how much to give or how to give. And so I'm going to do that on Sunday. And you're like, well, wait a minute, I got to hear about that. And so I'm looking forward to that. But I want to look at something. In my mind, I have this all worked out in my head on a missions conference and things of that nature. But before we can even talk about finances, before we can even talk about giving and things of that nature, we have to have a heart that's right before God. Well, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, I just thank you for your love for us tonight. I just ask that you'd have your hand upon this meeting. And I do thank you, Father, for the sweet fellowship, the hospitality from Berean Baptist Church. And, Lord, I just pray for these good folks that you would bless them. Speak to hearts, Father, as they prepare to fill out a card on Sunday. And that, Lord, all that I know Brother Abels wants and all that any pastor would want is just for the folks just to be obedient to you. That's all that's asked. And, Lord, I know that if that takes place, then you will be glorified. And so meet with us tonight. Help us to have hearts that are right before you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, one of my favorite stories, and I've told this many times from the pulpit there at First Baptist, and even probably when I've spoken out before, a pastor friend of mine, one time I came to visit his church, a pastor friend of mine, I sat down. I think it was, you know, doors like that, came down and sat over on the right-hand side and singing, you know, during the song service. And I happened to turn around and I looked, and on the back wall underneath the sound room was this huge red banner. And do you know what this huge red banner said? Get right with God. How many of you remember that? How many of you, that had to have been a long time ago. And I think about that from time to time, and I've actually mentioned that in different messages and such, you know, as an illustration that that first and foremost, before we do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts need to be right before Him. Now, before we get into Matthew chapter 22, I want you to turn with me over to 1 John chapter 1 and kind of lay a little bit of groundwork here, which I think is super important. 1 John chapter 1, John here is writing, and he gives a little bit of instruction, a little bit of direction, some conditions about a heart that's right before God. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So what he's doing here is he's helping us understand how we can have fellowship with the Lord. Because there's a specific way we have to have fellowship with the Lord. We understand that to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the truth is the super important part of how we worship Jesus Christ, and we worship Him from the truth of God's Word. And there's a few qualifications that we need to meet if we're going to worship Him, if we're going to have fellowship with Him, and then if we're going to be able to properly fill out a card for Him on Sunday for our faith promise commitment. Because I don't know about you, but every year when we have our faith promise commitment, man, I begin praying, and I'm praying diligently because I want to be right with God, and I want to know where I want to make certain that my walk with Him is where it needs to be, that my sins are confessed before Him, of course, that my fellowship is with Him where it needs to be, because I want to make the commitment that Jesus Christ wants me to make. I don't want to overcommit, and because I don't want to, you know, hate life 3 weeks from now, you know, because I put too much on that card, and I don't want to undercommit and just be, oh, this is super easy. I'm just going to put down here, and when I could be doing more for Jesus Christ and giving Him more glory and laying up more treasures in heaven, I certainly want to have a heart that's right before Him. And so how do we do that? Well, John tells us here in verse 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Man, I just love this passage of Scripture. Verse 6 tells us, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So what he's saying here and helping us understand that if we're harboring sin in our life, if we have darkness in our heart, then we are not having fellowship with Him as we think that we are. How's your walk with the Lord? Oh, man, my walk with the Lord is great. You know, the Lord and I are just like this. You know, we're buddies and things of that nature, and everything's great. But if we have sin in our hearts, if we have darkness, there's no way we're having fellowship with Him like we think that we are. I mean, it's just impossible, because there's one thing about light. When you come in here and you turn the lights on, what happens to the darkness? It flees, doesn't it? You go into a dark room, hit the light on, lights come on, darkness flees. And so how would we think that we're going to be able to come into His presence and to know His will and to have sweet fellowship with Him if we have sin in our heart that's not been confessed? I mean, we have to have that. We have to the best of our ability, keep our sins confessed so that we can have fellowship with Him, so that we can know His will for us in our life. Now, life, I'm a husband. I'm a father to 4 kids. I have a daughter-in-law. I'm a new grandpa. Did you know that? Did I mention that? I'm a grandpa. This September, I think it is. And so I've got a little boy coming, a little grandson. That's going to be awesome. I mean, there's a lot of hats that we wear, and we need to have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And this faith promise commitment card that we have is just one of them. It's just one of the things, but not just a faith promise commitment card on Sunday or through the rest of the month. But it's as we come and we worship Him and we open up the hymn book and we sing unto Him and we serve Him in some capacity and we try to be used by God in a great and mighty way. Then if we're going to do that, then we must have a heart that's right before God. Get right with God. And then the Lord will be able to use us and we'll have that fellowship. Now, back in our text in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, the title of this message tonight is Loving God and Loving Others. Loving God and Loving Others. And I don't know if you've ever thought of what it would have been like to live in Old Testament days. Part of me is like, man, I wish I lived back in Moses' day. I'd like to see that Red Sea parted. You know, I'd like to live in Elijah's day and Elisha's day. And then I'd like to live in King Solomon's day. I'm in there in my personal Bible reading. King Solomon just got the wisdom and all that, and he's getting ready to build his house and the temple and things of that nature. I'm like, man, that'd be amazing. And then to live in Jesus' day, to see Jesus Christ and to walk with him, and, you know, and just to live in just during the Bible days. But then my mind always comes back to indoor plumbing. And indoor plumbing always brings me back to the 20th century and 21st century every single time. There's just something about the amenities of life that pulls me back. But wouldn't it have been awesome to live in Old Testament days from time to time? Maybe just go visit for a little while. And so definitely not the amenities that we have in this life. But one of the things that will be required if we lived in Old Testament times is to keep the Old Testament law. We'd have to keep the law. And not just the Ten Commandments, but there were like 613 precepts and ordinances that you'd have to keep if you lived in Old Testament times. And man, that's a tall order to try to keep these commandments and keep these precepts and ordinances. Now, keeping the law, we understand, is entirely impossible. There's no way you could keep the law. There's no possible way, humanly speaking, a human being could keep these ordinances and keep this law. Paul tells us his purpose, rather, was a schoolmaster to point people to Jesus Christ. There was only one person that could keep the law fully and perfectly, and his name is Jesus Christ. He kept the law. He lived a perfect life. He climbed upon the cross, and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. God himself died so that you and I could be forgiven for our sins. That's just an amazing event that has taken place. And so the law really was a schoolmaster to point us to our Savior. It simply showed mankind that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. And it shows us that we're undone and we're lost without Him. And it shows us and it reminds us that daily we need to keep our sins confessed before Him if we want to have proper fellowship with Him. Listen, I'm telling you what, you can't live like the world and expect to have great fellowship with the Lord. It's just not going to happen. Paul says, or John says, that we're liars. So when Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled the law. We know that by living a life that's free from sin, dying on the cross. And what we see here in our text for New Testament people like you and me is that he summed up all 613 commands just into two simple commands. He summed up all 613 precepts and ordinances into two simple commands. And he says, here's what they are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are two simple things right there. It ought to be something that's fairly simple. So, all the commands, all the law, and the prophets spoke about everything that the law, represented by Moses and the prophets by Elijah, all that they spoke about could be summed up in two simple yet very, very profound commands, and that's to love God and to love man. You know what I'm supposed to do as a Christian today? Love God and love men. And if I love God and I love men, then I'm going to be able to fulfill the great commission that God has called us to do. I'm going to be able to witness. I'm going to be able to counsel. I'm going to be able to be a soul winner. I'm going to be able to get involved with missions. I'm just telling you what, it's not rocket science today. We're simply to do two things, and that's to love God and to love men. And so he sums that up in the two simple commands. So as we look at this first command, verse 37, it says, look what it says there in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, as born again believers, we must do everything in our power to obey this command. I mean, it is a driving force in our life to love God and to serve him and to be found pleasing unto him. Notice the command says to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. I mean, there really shouldn't be such thing as a Christian who's not all in, or someone who's a saved person yet not a disciple of Jesus Christ. When he saved our soul and he called us to be a servant unto him, he deserves everything that we have and everything that we are. Because of what he has done for us. And ultimately, there's going to be a test one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. And so all that he wants from me, because of what he has done for me, is my all. He just wants my all. Now, he happened to call me into full-time ministry to be a pastor. He happened to call some of these other men and women in to be missionaries. But he's not calling everyone into the ministry, but he is calling some. I remember one time I was preaching and I was saying, you know what, the Lord may be talking to some young people and calling them into full-time ministry and such and so forth. And after the services, a gentleman came up and he said to me, well, some people have to stay at home. And I didn't say anything because the pastor was there, and I was just like, oh, you know, I let the pastor take care of that one. He said, some people need to stay home. And I'm thinking to myself afterwards, I think we've got that base covered. Amen. I think we've got the staying at home pretty much covered here. We need laborers in the harvest. And so Jesus Christ is not calling every single person, although I am personally praying for all the young people at First Baptist into the ministry. And I tell our folks that we have like four ladies pregnant. I'm praying for those unborn babies to be saved and to go into full-time ministry. I'm praying for all the kids at First Baptist Bible Church to be saved and to go into full-time ministry. Well, what if the parents don't like that? Too bad. Amen. Too bad. Because we need laborers in the harvest. But what we need even, I suppose, more than laborers in the harvest, if I could say it this way, is we just need everyone to be all in. We just need everyone to love God with all their heart. We just need everyone, church member, whether you're a Christian plumber or a dentist, or you work at Home Depot, or whether you're at work at the funeral home, or wherever you might be, I'm just telling you what, we need Christians who are all in, who love God with all of their heart and all of their mind and all of their soul, with every ounce of their being, and saying, Lord, how can I serve at Berean Baptist Church? Lord, I don't have the best talents. I don't have the greatest of gifts. You know, I'm just a tradesman. I'm just a journeyman. Or I'm just a secretary. I'm just a nurse. I'm just this or just that. No, you're a servant of the great God in heaven. You can do great in my... What he's wanting from us is just to love him with all of our soul and all of our heart and all of our mind. And this means that we need to have some compassion about us. We need to have some compassion and some drive and a desire to love him and to please him. Do you have that drive and that compassion and that desire to love Jesus Christ? I hope that you do. Because truth be known, some people are just not very passionate today, and about drives me nuts. It just about drives me nuts. And unfortunately, the reason that drives me nuts is oftentimes that lack of compassion crosses over into their relationship with their Lord and their service in the local church. And now some people will tell me, they'll say, well, I'm just not a very passionate person, and they're just not that type of person to show emotion. That's fine. But watch them during a football game, amen, or college football or basketball. No, forget baseball. Anyone wants to watch baseball except the Cardinals. And or sitting in front of the TV watching their favorite team, and all of a sudden they become transformed into a fanatic. Or watch them get a big old catfish or a walleye hit their fishing line and watch out, and all of a sudden they get excited. I'm just telling you what, we ought to have some excitement about the things of God today. Amen. The Lord wants us, just very simply, I mean, the Lord wants us to love him with every ounce of our being. He's the preeminent one. Amen. He is the Christ, the King. Amen. He's my Savior and he's my God. Yes. And I love my family, but I love God more. He wants, all he's looking for us today is just to serve him with some compassion and some fire in our belly and just some eagerness and some desire to see him do some great and mighty things through the vehicle of the local church. Listen, he's not working through the Boy Scouts today. He's not working through the Kiwanis Club. Heaven forbid the Masons. He's not, you know what he's working through? He's working through the local church today. And that means people like you and me who hear, who show up on time, and we show up with a desire and a burden in our hearts to hear from him and to do something great and mighty for him. That's what he's looking for. He wants us to have some compassionate. He wants us to have some passion about the things he's passionate about. And you know what he's passionate about? Lost souls. Oh, mercy sakes alive. I believe with every ounce of my being that the Lord blesses churches that are missions minded. Because that's why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come to help me get a nicer truck or a bigger boat or a nicer set of golf clubs. Golf clubs might not be too bad, but I'm just saying he didn't come to help me do all those things. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. So that's his burden and that's his passion. That ought to be my passion, and it ought to be your passion as well. And so there has to be some energy, some fire in our love for him. There must be some life in our walk with him, not just dead, dry worship. I cannot stand that. Man alive, but there needs to be some emotion about us. There ought to be joy and enthusiasm about us when we sing the hymns out unto him. And I love those good old-fashioned hymns. We have the same hymn book, and I'm never getting rid of it. I just love it. And we sing out to him. I'm telling you what, I think we ought to almost be hoarse if we're able to, just to be able to sing unto God because of what he has done for us. It's just an amazing thing. Do you love the Lord? Then sing unto him. Well, I don't like to sing. I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. And as a pastor, so, you know, when I sit up on the platform, maybe I need to stop. I have a good friend of mine. He says, I don't sit on the platform during the song service because I can't stand not seeing people sing. I can't stand seeing people during the song service. And I'm like, no, I get it. I understand. But I do, because then I go like this. No, I don't do that. I want to, but I'm not a confrontational guy, so I don't do that. I just write their name down. I'm taking you off my prayer list. I don't do that either. But there ought to be some joy and enthusiasm. We need to get excited about serving the Lord. And I just can't stand not singing. I don't understand that. We need to sing with emotion. Why should we do that? Because, listen, folks, He is deserving of it. He is deserving of our praise. I don't think we can do enough. I don't think we can serve enough. I don't think we can give enough unto my Savior and my God who saved me from my sins. Hey, alive, I don't have to spend an eternity in hell. I am reconciled unto my Heavenly Father. I'm a joint heir to the throne of God with Jesus Christ. What do you want from me, Lord? What do you want from me? I'll willingly give whatever you want. Our love is to be founded on the truth of God's Word, and our love ought to be constant all the time. Well, I used to go to church. I used to be faithful. You knock on people's door, outdoor knocking, and, oh, I used to be a church member. I used to go, and what happened? Why aren't you fit? Well, you know, this happened. I got offended. Pastor offended me. Pastor's wife offended me. Someone didn't say something to me. Listen, this is not a time to be easily offended about things in this world. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're able to be offended, it says nothing about the offense, but everything about your walk with Jesus Christ and your love or lack of love for the Word of God. And so you might think, well, that's too bad for you, but I'm serving Jesus Christ no matter what. I give the illustration. I love Taco Bell. I don't know why. Because it's the same thing wrapped about 18 different ways. That's all it is. And half the time I go to Taco Bell, they make me mad. And they get the order wrong, or it's cold, or something's wrong. They took away the Mexi-Melt. That's like, we need to stop. They took and have prayer time. They took away the Mexi-Melt. But then I found out, I talked to a lady who works at Taco Bell. She says, no, and I figured out how you can order it and trick them into making a Mexi-Melt. And so I can get my Mexi-Melt anytime I want. Now, why am I saying all that? You know, I keep going back and I keep going back. Why am I telling you that? Because I love Taco Bell. And so I keep going back no matter how many times they offend me. How dare we allow something as trivial as what the devil is going to throw across our path to keep us from serving Jesus Christ, loving our God, and using our talents and our abilities for Him. Don't allow that to happen, friend. Serve Christ no matter what. I'm just telling you what, put Him first. And so let's not be hot one moment and cold the next moment. We must be forever faithful to Him in our love. I want to be faithful to Him forever. I made that vow to my wife 27 years ago or something like that. And I made, how long have we been married? Yeah, somewhere around in there. Brother Abel's like, cast that line out there, brother. We've been married a long time. And so, I made that commitment to my wife. Focus with me here for just a moment. So not only must our love be passionate, but our love also has to be expressed unto our Lord. We can say that we love Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, I love the Lord. How dare you say don't love Him? Well, because the Bible says Jesus said, if you love me, what? What did He say? He didn't say honk if you love Jesus and put it on your bumper sticker. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love Jesus Christ. How dare you say I love Jesus Christ? But if we would inspect our lives and find out that there's areas of lack of obedience, would there not be a reason to suspect our love for Jesus Christ? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments and do what He asked us to do. Follow Him, be in obedience unto Him. That's what He's asking. And so our love needs to be expressed. You know, Dina and I have been married. I'm pretty sure it's 27. Yeah. 27 years. Dina and I been married for 27 years, and you know, I expressed my love to Dina many different ways, taking her out to eat and things of that nature. And back in the day when we were very first dating, I was a mortician, and so, you know, I wanted to woo her, and you know, so I brought her flowers one time, and she's like, "Who died?" And I'm like, And I said, does it really matter? I mean, did not a flower shop deliver them somewhere? And I just picked them up and brought them to my wife. So what if they pass through a funeral home? I thought she's being ungrateful, is what I thought. I mean, there's some nice roses and stuff from time to time. Now, these were flowers that were going to be taken to a nursing home or something, or, you know, that the family didn't want anymore. I wasn't stealing from a deceased person. But, I mean, so I take flowers to dinner. I'm like, you know, I love you. And she's like, and so I stopped giving flowers. I stopped taking flowers home. I said, fine. You know, I'm not bringing any flowers home. And I'm not kidding you. Probably 15 years later, she's like, you know, flowers are okay. If you want to bring flowers, I'm like, I don't work at a funeral home anymore. And so I guess I could swing out of the cemetery. So what we need to understand here is that our love for God cannot be, what I'm trying to get us to understand is our love for God cannot just be an ideal out there or a sensation out there or just something, yeah, of course I love God. Oh yeah, why do you, I can't even believe that you questioned me, Pastor, that I would love God. You know, here's another thing, let me just throw in here right here. If you love God, you're going to be faithful to His church because Christ loved the church and died for it. Well, I love Jesus Christ, but I don't really care about going to church. How could you not love His bride? How could you not love the church? It'd be like me saying, Bro Jeff, I think you're a nice guy. We want you to come over for dinner, but just leave Robin at home because we don't care for Robin too much. And Brother Abel's would be like, okay, be like me saying, hey, Brother Martinez, I want you to come over. What time? So Brother Abels would say, if you don't like my wife, I don't like you. That's what he should say. Amen. So how can we say that we love Jesus Christ and don't love His church? And He died for the church. And I know that you do. You're here. But there's a lot of Christians out there who don't. And I don't understand that. Our love for Christ is not an ideal. It's not a sensation. It ought to be expressed. It must be conveyed in a multitude of ways. And as I mentioned earlier, it's conveyed in the way in the songs that we sing. It's conveyed in our praying. It's conveyed in our fellowship one with another. It's conveyed in our support. It's conveyed in getting involved with missions and just being there for the Lord to use us in whatever capacity He sees fit. I just want to be there. I just want to be used. But most importantly, our love for God is exhibited here, listen to this, through humble, obedient lives. That's how our love is expressed. Through, you know what He wants? He does it. He's not looking, well, I need to get this person to member of Berean Baptist Church because they're such an awesome singer and they're just going to round that choir off or they're going to be, you know what He's looking for? He's not looking for talent. He doesn't need the talents that we have, although He uses them. You know what He's looking for from us? Humble obedience. He's just looking for someone to be faithful, to keep a heart that's right before Him and to be used by Him in whatever capacity He sees fit. That's what He's looking for, because He said, again, if you love me, keep my commandments. So He said, Jesus is basically saying, if you really want to show your love for me, keep my commandments. Now, I'm so thankful. I love my four kids, and Jacob, he's married to Nina and their little grandbaby coming, and Jenna's at Heartland Baptist Bible College, and Jeremiah and Jack, of course, are here with us. I love my kids. I love all my kids, and oftentimes they'll come and hug me or punch me in the belly and stuff like that. I don't care about that too much, but they'll come and they'll hug me. They still think they can take their dad. So, but at any rate, they'll come and they'll hug me, and I'm very thankful for loving kids. That's one of the things I'm so super thankful about with all of my children. They're very loving to their mom and me, and I'm thankful for that. And you would have to agree with me that if they rebelled against their dad or never expressed their love toward me or their mom, I could honestly begin to question the sincerity of their love. How is it that we say that we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and yet not show it to Him? Just being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, this week we're emphasizing the need to give to Faith Promise Missions. As mentioned last night, it's an offering above and beyond the tithe. Brother Abel's mentioned that again, that the tithe belongs to the Lord. That's 10%. You fill out The tithe envelope, it's arithmetic, 10% of a gross income, and you put it down there. But what we're emphasizing this week is above and beyond that, it's an offering above. And when we take part in missions, we show our love to God by being obedient to His command, because missions is a command of Christ. It's part of the Great Commission. Jesus told the apostles in John 20:21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." We're being sent out by God to fulfill the commission. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is that? That's missions. Acts 1:8, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." And so we have that over and over again. We have the command to get the gospel out beyond ourselves to those who still need it. And there's a multitude. There's millions and billions of people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to be doing something about that. So by being a part of missions, we are just obeying His command and therefore showing our love for Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. And not only does our obedience prove our love for the Savior, but it also seeks His best. You know, there's nothing that we can give to God that He needs. One of my responsibilities as a husband is to make certain that my wife is taken care of. My kids, okay, they're all right, you know, but I mean, my wife needs to be taken care of. And we take care of my kids. And I do my best to make certain that my children are taken care of. But I mean, I have some responsibilities, and that's to make certain that Dina is well taken care of. And I look at this, and you know, we have earthly relationships to help us understand our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so when I think about this and conveying that, seeking His best, I also have to understand that there is nothing that I can give to Him that He needs. He doesn't need anything from me. He's not like, man alive, I need this from Scott Nail. I wish you'd come through on that. I really need it. No, here's what it is. When we get involved, it's our privilege and our opportunity to be involved in what He's going to do upon this earth. I talked about that a little bit last night. He's looking across, you know, the Martinez's, the Martinez family and the Mallards and the Barretts. They're going to get on the foreign field one way or another, with us or without us. It's going to happen. I the Lord is going to use churches to get them on the foreign field. And my thing is why couldn't He use us? Why couldn't He use me to be able to? It's my privilege and opportunity to be a part of that. And so God needs absolutely nothing from us, but there are things that He deserves and desires, and one of them is glory. That's what He wants for me, is to give Him glory, to give Him the praise that He deserves. He deserves our glory He deserves glory from every individual upon this earth, even those who are not saved. He deserves glory from them. All glory has been given unto Him, and it's God's great plan that people of every tongue and of every nation glorify Him, that all recognize His goodness and His grace, the same goodness and grace that you and I are so thankful that we have today. And not just Americans, but the whole world needs to understand what a great and mighty God He is. You know, we're so blessed today. We have the Word of God. I mean, we have four services a week: Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. There's Bible Institute. You have radio programs. You have the ability. I was talking to a gentleman that just went to a Bible conference, and he said like 12 or 13 messages, you know, he heard already this week. I'm like, man, you're getting one more. He must need it. And so I'm just saying, we have the ability that we're so blessed, but there's people in other parts of this world who don't have what we have. And they need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ as well. And so we when we're a part of missions, they go from people in foreign countries, or people even in the United States, or people in this state here, go from children of darkness to being called children of God, move from darkness into the wonderful light so that they can have fellowship with Him, as 1 John tells us. And when they are moved from this darkness, then they worship Him with their own voices, and they lift up their own voices and sing unto Him. Listen, that is the desire of our Heavenly Father, that every person upon this earth gives Him glory. And let me tell you what, it will happen, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But people cannot worship Him unless they first experience His love. What are we trying to do through missions? Why are we having this conference? Because we're trying to create more worshipers for God. We're trying to send missionaries out to see people saved, get them baptized in the local church, and praising His name and sending more out to create more worshipers, to create more Christians. If only the whole world could have what you and I have, if only someone would tell them, if someone would only send them. And the only way we can do that is if we get involved with missions. Every single church member get involved with missions. And that's another thing I don't understand. And I don't even know if it's true in our church. We don't, you know, we send out the card and you don't have to sign the card. It's a commitment between you and the Lord. But it's my personal opinion that every single church member of Berean Baptist Church ought to be involved with missions at some point, at some part. How can we be a church member and not be involved with Faith Promise Missions? I mean, how is that even possible that we're not being involved with what God wants us to do? We obey. And so when we get involved with missions, we obey the first command of God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And when we get to the point where we're doing that, we'll find we often meet the requirement of the second command. Look in verse 39 of Matthew chapter 22. When we do that, we often meet the requirement of the second great command, and that's to love others as ourselves. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So remember here, love is to be expressed, right? We must show our love, not only for God, but also for our fellow man. There are many verses in the Bible that speak of our love for others or lack of love for others. John would write in 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He wrote in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4, verse 20, the Bible says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I mean, there's so many verses in the Bible about our need to have a right relationship with others. And we must be careful, because sometimes we say that we love God, but when the rubber meets the road, when it's time to show our love, we'll often act like the Levite and the priest with the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to read this. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read this through this quickly. But in Luke chapter 10, in verse 30, is that parable, a very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. And then listen to what Jesus says. He says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, well, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So both the priest and the Levite saw the man lying in the road. They may even have had pity upon him. They may even have said, boy, I love that man. That's just a great guy. Oh, I know that guy. He's a really nice guy. But their actions spoke louder than words or their thoughts as they passed by on the other side. Why is that? Well, they had things to do. They had places to go. They had their own life to live. There's no time for that right now. I'll be busy. Maybe next time. Boy, if it was next week, I'd be able to take care of that guy. Let's be careful that we're not a Christian like that. Let's just be careful that we're loving God and making certain that others are taken care of. We may think it's a shame that others don't have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we may have pity upon those people in Boulder. We may have pity on the Australians and in England. We may have pity upon the lost out there, but I'm just telling you what, we may think it's a shame, but are we doing anything about it? Are we getting involved? If we're not doing anything, then our love is false, is what the Bible tells us. Because the truth of the matter is, it takes people like us to reach people without the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we stop and think about it, it's really, I'm just saying, and maybe in my own little brain here, but it's really not that hard to give to missions. It's not that difficult to get involved, to make that expression of love. But many choose not to, and I think they choose not to for a multitude of reasons, all of which are no good whatsoever. Simply not convenient at this time. Well, I have things to do. I've got places to see. I was going to take that money for something else. And by the way, this missions conference, I just thought about this during a song service. Many got stimulus checks. I'm just telling you, if not everyone, got stimulus checks. I mean, what a great opportunity to make an offering unto the Lord. I mean, we have opportunities afforded to us all the time to get involved. well, it's not convenient. I was going to use that money for something else. Well, there's that nicer car that I was going to use that money for, or nicer golf clubs, or there's that nicer boat, or the newest TV, or game console, or we were going to take a massive vacation. And let me say, all of those things, none of those things are bad. None of them are bad whatsoever. But if we're not involved with missions, we're just as bad as those not willing to tell others. We're just as bad. If we truly love others, we're going to do everything we can to make certain that they at least have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. We have men who are called and men and women who have been touched by God, but they need us to get them there. Many times they go to foreign fields, and these fields will not allow a foreigner to take the job of a national. And so they can't work there. They have to be supported from the local churches, just like this one, to make a difference and to be able to fulfill the commission. And so we have men and women who are called, and the command tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so how in the world can we do more? Well, maybe we could just scale back here or there a little bit. Anyone here besides me like budgets? I'm kind of a budget. I still have the pencil and paper. It's not even on Excel spreadsheet. I mean, I don't even have it added up for me. I have to take the eraser every single time. I mean, I just like a budget. And when I look at that budget, I'm like, man, we could cut back here a little bit, or we could give a little bit more here, or we don't necessarily need that. I'm just saying, maybe we could scale back here or there just a little bit. You know that this country spends more on dog food than we do on foreign missions? We do. I'm thinking about getting rid of my dog. And so at any rate, no, I'm not going to do that, kids. My wife's like, no, you're not. And so maybe we could sacrifice. Maybe we could sacrifice something to love them as we love ourselves. Because here's the thing. Love doesn't allow us to just sit back on our laurels. It motivates us to act. Love is an action word. It motivates us to move. We protect our kids because we love them. I protect my wife because I love her. Love cannot sit and watch those that they love suffer. And if we really love God and we really love our neighbor as we say that we do, then we're gonna view missions as something that we must do. I got to get involved with that. I need to help these people get over there to share the gospel. There's so many blessings that we haven't even touched. Once we get to heaven, it's going to be amazing. We'll not sit on the sidelines, but we will look down and see what we can do to reach them and to help them more, whether by telling others ourselves or sacrificing so others can go. So let me ask this. Do you love God? Do you love Him with all your heart and your soul and your mind? Do you love Him like we say that we do? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Duty to God and duty to man both are summed up in that one simple word, love. Do you love? Let's first make certain that our walk with the Lord is where it needs to be. I'm such a strong believer on that, and I just believe that if our hearts aren't where they need to be, then we could have a seminar, we could have services all month long, and it's not going to do any good unless our heart's where it needs to be, unless our sins are confessed, unless we get right with God, make certain that we're right with God so that we can adequately hear from Him about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He wants me to do. And so let's make certain that our walk with the Lord is where it needs to be. Let's make certain we're loving our neighbors as ourselves. Let's actively, passionately, on purpose, get involved in seeing lost souls saved, not only in Springfield, but throughout the rest of the world. Yeah. Real quick, look, 1 John, go back there and I'm done. 1 John, and then we're done. I want you to notice something here. Our hearts need to be right. Look at 1 John and chapter 1 again. Look what it says in verse 3. And I want you to notice the word fellowship throughout here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. So He's declaring unto us the Son. He's declaring us how we can have a right relationship with God. And it's centered around having a heart right before Him. But the benefits of that are fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you got to have a heart that's right before God. You have to have sins confessed if you're going to have fellowship with God. You got to love God first. First, you got to love God and make certain that your heart is right before Him. And then verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with whom? One with another. See, if we get right with God, then we can love others as we love ourselves. But it all centers around all of this. Even this whole conference this week centers around us being right with God. Are you right with God tonight? Do you love Him? Is there sin that's unconfessed in your heart? Is there something going on in your life that's hindering your walk with Him, you need to get that taken care of. Because you're not having fellowship with Him. We might think that we are, and we might say that we are, and we might belt out the hymn as loud as we can so, you know, everyone can hear that. But if we have unconfessed sin in our heart, then we're lying and the truth is not in us. So what do we need to do? We need to make certain clear on spot that our hearts are right before Him, that we're walking in fellowship with Him. Then we'll properly be able to have fellowship with others, and we'll be able to fill out this card and say, "Blessed be the Lord." Is your heart right before Him? With heads bowed tonight and eyes closed. I didn't ask this yesterday, but I want to ask this tonight. Maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed, with no one looking around, how many say, "Brother Nail, I know without a doubt I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've been forgiven for my sins. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if I were to die today, I know I'd be in His presence forever." How many by uplifted hands say, "That's me. I'm a born-again believer. I'm on my way to heaven." Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm not going to embarrass you or call for you or come for you. I just want to anonymously pray with no one looking, with heads bowed. Is there anyone tonight say, "Brother Nail, I'm not positive that heaven is my home. I just don't have that assurance. I don't know that my walk with the Lord is where it needs to be. If the Lord were to come back or if I were to die tonight, I don't know that I'd spend eternity with Christ in heaven. I don't know that I've been reconciled unto the Father." With no one looking, how many just raise your hand where I can sit and you can put it right back down. Say, "Brother Nail, pray for me. I'm just not positive that heaven..." Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you. You can put yours down as well. Anyone say, "Just pray for me, Brother Nail. I'm not positive that heaven is my home." Just slip your hand up where I can see it. You can put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm just saying, here's what needs to happen tonight. You need to come. We're going to have the invitation here in just a moment. You need to slip out into the aisle and come down. And if you're a man, we'll have a man take you to the side and show you out of the Bible. If you're a woman, we'll have a woman take you aside and show you out of the Word of God how you can be certain that heaven is your home. That's the most important decision you need to make tonight. How many by uplifted hands say, "Brother Nail, I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, but I just need some help in my walk with the Lord. I love the Lord and I'm doing my best, but there's still some things in my life and my fellowship with Him is not where it needs to be. And maybe it's my prayer life or my Bible.